Hello and welcome to the Heavy Matters Bloodstock Review Show with myself, Joey, him, Benny. That's right, we are back from Blooders and we're going to basically round up how our weekend was. First of all, hello, mate.
As if I haven't seen you enough lately.
Oh, I know. Do you know what, mate? Without going lovey-dovey, I actually miss you. I had such a nice time. I had such a nice time just seeing you. It's been so long, actually, hasn't it?
A nice, consistent amount of time.
We pretty much see each other every year, but there is that year gap. So it was nice, yeah. And now we're back, and yeah, I'm missing you, so I just throw it out there. So yeah, we were at Bloodstock, mate, and it was our first time, so I just want to quickly touch on
our maiden voyage.
Yeah, I just want to touch on quickly a couple of points around Bloodstock, as it was our first one.
So madman.
First of all, yeah, get that out of the way first. First of all, travel logistics to the festival. Talk to me. So I flew in from Dublin
to
Birmingham. Flight was delayed, of course it was. And then we got to a hotel and then I had to walk to the festival, which was about 5K, so not too bad. Yourself?
Tell me how long that took you.
Door to door.
Running and walking.
Probably. We also stopped at the Swan for a pint, a lovely little village in the pub. So I'd say from landing in Birmingham to get into Bloodstock, maybe 2 hours, 2.5.
Nice. Do you think the Swan would sponsor Heavy Matters? We'd be a pub football team with the Swan on our
next time shirt. I'm in there, I'll ask.
Yeah, nice. Logistics for me, a good friend of the show, Marty Haddock, Stroyan, drove us down in the van. We stayed in the camper van field, as is our wants these days, being A-listers and hotels, camper vans. That's kind of how we do it these days. And travel down was fine from old Edinburgh, old Reiki. Travel back slightly on edge, but train from Burton on Trent, and yeah, that was delayed to my advantage, as otherwise I would have missed it. So yeah, it's bang in the middle of the country, so it's pretty good, you have to say.
It is, yeah. If you're driving, textbook for you, not much traffic compared to the likes of Download. If you are flying in like us, not too bad. 60 quid taxi from the airport to the festival, nothing to be sniffed at really, you know. Just another couple of quick points, Fanny, before we get into the band itself. Layout of the festival, food, beer, thoughts?
Oh, yeah, brilliant. I mean, again, we had the luxury of the Campervan 2 field. I understand Campervan 1 is a bit closer to the action, but Campervan 2 led to a lovely meandering walk along a river. We were a little perturbed at one point. There might have been a heavy metal reveler who might be waving or drowning in the river, but we've not heard about that on the news yet. So
we just moved on. We weren't that concerned. Well,
we weren't sure if he was waving or drowning, but let's just keep it at that, I would say.
Let's hope he's okay.
Yes. He was having a good time.
He was.
Whichever way around it was. Lovely riverside walk. I think everything's nicely close together on site. They clearly have the main stage. The New Blood stage is quite near that. The Dio... whose beer tent is it? Lemmy's. Lemmy's beer tent just behind that merch stand. And the second stage tent is a little bit further round. And all very accessible. Food, shout out to the gyoza and loaded fry stand that got a lot of my custom over the weekend.
Endless.
Slightly Moorish.
Just, I think you certainly had a few. McKenna from our crew, he had... I think dumplings 4 days in a row, including when he got back to Dublin, he had dumplings that night. Such was the tastiness of them. So, yeah, I thought there's a lot to be said about four smaller festivals, and Bloodstock is textbook. You're not traipsing around 20 minutes to get from stage to stage. You're talking less than a 5-minute walk, beer in hand, walking around, bumping into a few people. Very, very happy with it overall.
And now, as discussed subsequently with friend of the show, Matt Mills, also the main stage is big enough still to be quite impressive, I would say. It still feels like a proper big festival.
Yeah.
and we might compare and contrast that with another festival we've been to. But I you feel proper outdoor, big stage, suitably big for big bands. So yeah, it doesn't feel like a small village festival. It feels like a proper big deal. So
yeah,
best of both worlds for me.
Agreed, agreed. So let's move on then. So obviously you got there on the Friday morning.
Wednesday.
Sorry, were you there? Sorry, when does it run from?
No, Thursday. No, yeah, Thursday. You're... Sorry, mate.
Thursday.
Oh, so Thursday.
I'm getting confused with another festival. Oh, Tatchin. So yeah, you were there Thursday. So give me a flavour. Did you see any bands on the Thursday? I think King 810 played and...
Yes. Frozen Soul were the other ones that we mentioned in the preview. Yeah, we got there. Beautiful sunny day. As per standard, a few beers out in the sun, lovely. We just checked out King 810, more out of interest than anything else. I'm not been massively in tune with their output since the Petty Mort, but what I said to you was it was just a really interesting production that they brought, and really like just not something you've really seen before. They on stage they had front and front stage. Each side, they had these two big, almost barbed wire nets in which David Gunn, the singer, and the guitarist were in. And then behind the drum riser, they had this huge plinth that they had this kind of faux Donald Trump, American president. They had strippers. They had like confetti cannons. And it was something else, I have to say. And like for a moderate sized band, it was quite a elaborate and creative production. So, yeah, even if you weren't 100% on board with that music, that kind of hardcore post-new metal style trappings, the stage show in itself was quite interesting just to watch.
Entertaining with that, I saw a lot along. Yeah,
just interesting. Yeah, and hats off. I do like when bands, even of modest means, really push the boat out in terms of trying something, even if it doesn't all come off. It's great just to see, instead of like three guys in jeans playing on stage, something to, yeah. So it's good. It was good. That's all we saw.
So let's move on to the Friday. I think it's Friday. Mm-hmm. So we flew in Friday, right? That's where I'm getting my bearings now. We flew in Friday. You're already there. So you obviously saw a few bands before me. So bat away with who you saw, please.
I'd just like to touch on Hate again, someone we highlighted during the preview show. I think you were pretty sorry to miss them. Look at that face.
Well, you made it. You dug the daggers in when I was there about how good they were, and I missed them.
they were good. As advertised, that kind of blackened death metal, really tight live, always a bit funny seeing a band playing that blackened style in the midday, blazing sunshine. But look, they acquitted themselves really well. Really nice drum sound, quite impressive musicianship. I think they had to cut the set one song short because of overruns. But yeah, really impressive show.
Lovely. Got to miss that one. Next, Nick, who did you see next?
So I think at this point you had joined the crew.
Oh, okay. So am I right in saying we were fit for an autopsy?
Fit for an autopsy, we were.
Right, I will bat away with this one first because this is... Okay, so a bit weary at this stage, but a little bit excited as well. So Fit for an Autopsy are heavy as a motherfucker, if you excuse the language. And they were a band full of sub drops. Marty Haddock was loving it. For me, I thought... probably the way I was feeling at the time, it went on a bit too long for me and it was grinding me towards the end of the set. That's what I'll say. I really enjoyed what I saw, but I think it was just at that time of the day when I just arrived, the first band to greet me was this full-on death call, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. We've kind of talked about it a little bit that they... I don't think they're an odd fit, but it's kind of pushing somewhat the boundaries of that deathcore. I thought they were really good. It was really good to see Will Putney up close and in the flesh. I thought the sound wasn't great, particularly. I think for that deathcore, when you really want those really deep bass, those sub drops coming in, I don't think the sound was quite right for them, especially during the start. I think it picked up, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I think probably I'd settled into the groove of festival life by then, whereas it was
Okay.
still maybe a bit jarring for you. But yeah, I thought they got better and better throughout the set. I that track Hellions is just an absolute monster of a track. So I enjoyed hearing that live, and all the tracks of obviously of Tragic Beasts were very well received. So yeah, decent.
Fair, fair. We then moved over to the Sophie tent and saw Galea, the Portuguese black band. So obviously, I was a bit excited about that. At that point, I was in festival mode. I mean,
You're on an upper.
the sound of these guys was impeccable, almost like they were just playing it through a record and miming. They obviously weren't, not to disrespect them, but it was so crystal clear for a band that low down and a black metal band for that matter. I thought the lead singer, considering they all have their face covers, the lead singer was a really engaging singer and was really stirring the crowd up. The set list I thought was great, good mix, playing a lot of stuff off Mirage. I could not fault Galea at all, and I would be bloody delighted to see them on their own show in a club. I think it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I was really impressed too. I think sometimes that black metal can be tough to translate in a festival setting, but I think Guerrero were perfect for it. And I totally back up your sentiments that the sound was really good. And I think that, we talked about during the preview show that their albums are really richly produced. And I think that is part of their broader appeal and certainly appeals to me, as not such a dyed in the wool black metal fan as yourself. But yeah, I thought they were really good. I mean, I think they played Salve, but I think it sounded amazing. And yeah, I thought they were really good.
Super. Who do we see next, mate? I'm a bit confused now. Was it Heaven
It's
Shall
all
Burn?
right. Did we actually see them? I
Okay,
no.
so I remember being, I think we might have got food at that point. Heaven Shall Burn,
Yeah,
come on, and we
some
discussed in the preview
vegetable
show.
gyoza time.
Yeah, we discussed in the preview show saying how huge they were in Germany, but we don't really hear about them here. And there's a bit of a surprise. From what I saw, they were very mediocre. There was nothing really. Now, I didn't know any of their songs prior. Fair. They might have some bangers in there, but I was looking from afar and just thinking, this is very underwhelming and I can't see the hype.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's leave it at that, shall we? So I don't think I've got a lot more to add. I don't really think I properly saw them to comment, but
Okay,
to be
fine,
fair.
fine. Next venue, who do we see?
Oh, I think you're very much on your upper by this point, because next was sub-headlining on the main stage was In Flames, and it was glorious.
Glorious. We were at our peak then, weren't we?
Yeah, it was actually fantastic. Just perfect time. I love that time at a festival when
Yeah.
it's still sunny, the sun's just going down, it's just kind of dusk. I think that's probably one of the best times to play if you're a band. And they came roaring out the traps with three or four or four gone, and they all sounded really crisp. The band looked really excited. They look reinvigorated, energized, and for that really upbeat mellow death, I think that's really important that they're not plodding through the motions. They're really at it. And after those, what we've both said is one of the albums of the year, tracks from Foregone, they treated us to some absolute stone cold classics. Sure, in a festival set like that, you're never going to please everyone. But for me, it was a really nice mix of some old tracks like Cloud Connected, but some of the more mid-era tracks I really like as well. So yeah, it was I don't know, what did you think, mate?
Yes, couldn't agree more. I think the set list was superb. They couldn't have really brought out better set list, you know, coming out with tracks of Foregone. They sounded amazing, tight. Anders was on top form. They just, I think you said, they were a band who were just having a really good time.
And who was playing with them?
So Chris Broderick from on guitar and Liam from Dillinger.
Yeah, Liam Wilson was playing
Wilson,
bass.
That's it.
Yeah, that was a really confusing moment.
Really confusing.
Yeah, given I'd last seen him playing on stage at Arctangent with Azusa a few years ago.
Yeah. For
obviously a slightly different kettle of fish. But yeah, slightly odd, but fantastic, clearly. And
I'd say it's one of the bands of the weekend, mate, hands down.
Absolutely. Me too. And it just... For that time, like I say, but also for our weekends, that was it, just really clicking into place, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then, again, mate, at this point we went to see Bosk.
We did see Bosk.
Fucking hell, they are heavy.
Yeah.
I think we were at the back of the tent sort of area. Maybe, and... I just remember the stage show, the production, the lights was just like beaming out, and just the heaviness of the guitar and the drums was just filling the tent. It was so dense in there with those riffs.
It was dense. It was loud as well, is what I'd say.
Just but in a great way.
Absolutely. And what I'd say is it looked like they went down really well.
Yeah. And this is, I think we spoke about this before, Benny. Bosk would be a band who you'd more see on the Arctangent billing rather than a festival like Birdstock. So I'm delighted for them that they got a good show, because they could have gone down very badly.
Exactly. And they got a big billing, essentially, subbing on the Sophie stage. Yeah. And it was an odd booking. But as I said before, I think of all the bands to cross over for a more conventional metal festival, I think Bosk have got those riffs and that heaviness to do it. So yeah, I'm delighted for them. So I think
absolutely
that is a really big show for them, and I think they killed it.
Yeah, brilliant. And then we move swiftly over to the main stage, where this was a bit of a upper and a downer moment. So Killswitch Engage. So we were fairly well oiled at that point, I think is the saying.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of excitement building from the group. I think a lot of people in the group grew up around, or certainly grew up with Killswitch as they broke on the scene. And they again did not disappoint. they were on top form. Like every single one of them, Adam Duets, whoever his name is just, he's like a comedian on stage, just gets everyone laughing, so brings the crowd up. But I mean, you'll know the set list better than me, but they played an absolute stunker of a set list. They didn't leave hardly anything off it.
No, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And we talked about it before that, you know, they're one of these bands, like you say, that everyone's grown up with, pretty much everyone likes. We said, we use the term guilty pleasure for better or worse, but they are a hugely popular band, but maybe have never quite got that break to be headliners. But I just think they absolutely grasped it with two hands. They knew what they had, this opportunity, and they just went for it. And straight out the traps, they just played banger after banger. They started with My Curse and it just didn't let up. It was just like every track that started, I was like, oh, and they literally went into them one after another, just bang, bang, bang. It was like such an assault initially. And it was joyous. We got busy in the middle. There's crowd surfing, mosh pits. They had good production as well. They had fire. So it's not something I imagine they do much of, but they had pyro. They had a huge big video screen, which I think is something that Bloodstock have actually commissioned, this huge big video screen, but they use it to full aplomb with funny like video game skits of Adam D in the background. And like, I just think they grasp that nettle so well. And the perfect set list for a festival. They knew you know, they knew the crowd. They knew that they needed to play those bangers. They didn't hold anything back. And yeah, I mean, for me, I just loved it. I don't know if you want to talk about what came from it, but I just had such a great time at it, and I thought it was one of the great headlining sets that I've seen for a long while.
Just to touch on your point there about the set list and, you know, them. So we talk about, like, if you're going to be playing at a festival, don't be a mastodon and play all your B cuts. That's not going to, you know, get more fans on board. Like, Killswitch knew exactly that point and just went, right, let's just put every single off every album we've done and just lay waste to the place. And they did. And even the fact of me losing my phone, you know, during it, was a bit of a downer, but it still didn't take away from the fact that Killswitch were, again, one of the bands of the weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, just looking at this set list now on Setlist FM, like, it's just unbelievable. And the last few tracks, End of Heartache, My Last Serenade, and being on the Ronnie James Dio stage, they...
Holy Diver
to finish with, and clearly that went down an absolute storm at Bloodstock of all places. It went down so well, and I'm delighted for them, and I hope it leads to bigger bookings on festival bills, especially in the UK. I think for them, the UK must be a really great place to play.
Definitely. I think
there's a lot of love here for them, and. But, you know, I could see them headlining Second Stage at Download, which would be a step up in terms of capacity and everything else. I could see them really killing that.
For sure.
Subbing on the main stage at Download.
For sure. So that was Friday. Then on to Saturday, mate. So I think we all met together, didn't we? We went in for Urn, the kickoff of Urn. Off the back, and they've just released their new album the day before A Feast on Sorrow. So, you know, on main stage, three piece. So the stage looks very big for a three piece on them. But I mean, they kicked off with, their set was full of a few tracks off the new album, which I was delighted with. And it didn't disappoint. This, like, we haven't talked about the new album, Benny, but I'm a big fan of it. I'm not sure your opinion on it, but I thought the song sounded great. And Joe, the frontman, says, you know, he usually likes to talk a lot and joke around, but their time is very short because they're first on. So rattled through a bit, but I thought it was brilliant. A really good reaction from the crowd on the new songs as well.
Yeah, I would say that about Bloodstock. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the festivals we go to, but early doors, big crowd, you know, these people who go to Bloodstock, they're clearly there for their music, and big crowd there for Urn. I thought, yeah, like you say, they sounded great, sounded really big for a three piece. And I like you, much prefer the latest album to is it Serpent and the Sun or
Serpent and the Spirit? I think,
yeah, something like that. Even a little nod to Joe Duplantier, a little of the heaviest matter in the universe. But I thought it was great. I thought they did really well.
Really good, yeah. They're also going to be supporting Paradise Lost in Dublin. So I'm delighted to see them on that. That'd be a nice little bill. And then, unless I'm mistaken, mate, and you can very well stop me, we saw Employed to Serve.
We did.
On the main stage. I mean, like, Employed to Serve have some absolute fucking wicked tracks in their repository now. The one thing I will say is, and I think we mentioned this on the day, mate, the set list didn't really flow as much as I'd hoped. It, you know, they sort of like brought it up and then brought it down again. I mean, Sun Up to Sundown for me is my favourite track of theirs and sounds absolutely incredible live. Even said that when I bumped into Sammy at Arctangent a week after. But, I mean, they had the rain started coming down, which wasn't ideal. Everyone stuck at it though, got stuck in the pit. Mark of the Blade, I think, was the latter near the end of the set anyway. I went in and got busy with that. Look,
you didn't have a phone to lose at that point, so you might
I
as well
had
have
nothing.
done.
I literally had
You had
nothing to
nothing
lose.
to lose.
Yeah. So I just
It,
went in.
where did you, just so the people know, where did you get your black eye from? Which mosh pit was that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I had a black eye. I think it was Killswitch Engage or
And
In Flames, one of the two.
Killswitch has got a lot to answer for.
They have double dose. Yeah. So, Airport serve, yeah. Other than that, like they're just this one of England's treasures, that
A
band.
national
And
treasure.
yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought, no, I agree with everything you said. I think the rain was a bit of a bummer because actually the weather had been pretty good up until
Yeah.
that point, and the heavens slightly opened and people were slightly running for cover. But yeah, the few and the brave stuck by them. And yeah, I mean, I don't think they, I just, what do you think about this point, but I don't think they looked daunted on that big stage. I
Not
thought
at
they
all.
completely owned it, and you could have been seeing them in the smallest club or big. And like we said at the start, Bloodsport stage is a big old proper festival stage, and I thought they all looked just completely at home. Justine dominating it,
Yeah.
nice vocal turns from Sammy as well, something we saw on the last album, but it's nice to see those live. So yeah, I thought do you know, it's a good sign of strength for them to show their comfort on that really big stage. And
Yeah,
clearly, like supporting Gojira and stuff on big stages is must have helped with that stagecraft, but I thought they looked really good.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Love that band so much. At this point, then, just want to give a quick shout out because in between Employed to Serve and Crowbar, we met up with Claire Harris and Lisa from Nuclear Blast, which was a lovely little treat. And just a shout out to Claire, who she's a lovely lady, and she's been doing some biggies recently. You know, the getting an interview with Watain and Enslaved and stuff. And she was really nice, and it was nice to hang out for a bit. So shout out to Claire Harris at this point from Nuclear Blast Records. Yeah, so Crowbar, we weren't really paying attention because we were talking to Claire and Lisa, but I mean, from what we did hear at the start, he has not lost any of his charm, Kirk, and by that I mean he sounds just as good as he did in the early days, if not possibly better. The whiskey, smoky vocals, you know, they've got harsher if possible. But that man, what I loved about him as well was sound checking himself. You know,
Oh, keeping it real.
he's gone from, you know, going from clubs around New Orleans, doing that himself, and he's now at this stage where fairly high up on the bill, like midway up on the main stage, and he's still sound checking himself. What a joke. And I can't remember much of the set list because we were chatting, but from what I heard, they played a few off the new album, and I'm gutted I actually didn't get to see him properly.
Yeah, I said this to you before, having been a really long-term in and out fan of Crowbar, like some of their albums are so dear to me and I hold them so close to my heart. And the ongoing joke amongst all our friends is how I lovingly fall to sleep to Crowbar every night, which is to a certain extent true. But I said this to you before that I will either know every note of every song or I won't know any song. In the whole set list, it kind of fell towards the latter for me, which do you know, when it just happens when you're less familiar with stuff, it doesn't quite chime with you as much. And as you say, we're a little bit distracted, but I don't think that should detract from the overall review that I think they were on very solid form and on very solid ground.
Yeah, I'm actually really gutted that I didn't get to. But anyway, look, we were busy networking, mate, weren't we? Oh, they did play Planets Collide. Okay, I just looked on the set list there. They played a good mix. Oh yeah, lovely stuff. So then after Crowbar, mate, to see Knocks Loose.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh mate, I'll let you open up the mosh pit on this one.
Yeah, it was so slightly what I said about Fit for an Autopsy, I would like to revisit here, and that fit for an autopsy sound, I don't think, was perfect. And in particular, where they've got those sub drops in there, it just didn't quite have the impact. I would say it was very much the opposite for Not Loose. They sounded absolutely fearsome from the moment they stepped on stage. Those sub drops, you could feel them in your very bowels, just juddering those day two festival guts a little bit. And yeah, they were, I mean, they were excellent. They were, they rattled through the hits. We were joking about how Brian Garris is his stage presence and how he gets the crowd rolled up and in his high-pitched voice announcing how many tracks they've got left to play, like some countdown to extinction. He's kind of pronouncing how many tracks they've got. And they were fantastic. All the tracks that you would really expect from their career spanning discography. I thought the new track sounded excellent. And a little bit of mosh pit action yet again.
Again, they had a bit bad with the weather. In fact, they had it worse than Employed to Serve, I think.
They did. It absolutely poured.
Yeah. They were my surprise band of the weekend, actually, because
delighted.
I like, the only album I've really got into there is Laughter Tracks, which I, you know, it's sort of an in and out job, fine. And I thought, live. And when I saw him come out and I, you know, like you said, in the high pitch, let's go. I was like, oh, God, this. But I mean, they were just relentless, like just non-stop. And those sub drops were literally, it was almost like every 10 seconds there was a sub drop. I remember speaking to one of our mates, CJ, there, and we were like chatting, and then every time a sub drop drove, the conversation would just stop because we both just like make faces, like, you know, the Christian Bale gif, just like. And yeah, it went straight through you, right to your bowels, like you said. But I thought they were great, and I'm glad you had a good time with them, because
I'm not too proud to say, as the heavens opened and it started pouring down and I was trapped in the middle of a mosh pit, I managed to look down and find a bin bag and fashion a makeshift poncho and carry on in the mosh pit. I'm not too proud to say that. I had a really good time.
Don't worry, your kids won't remember which episode this is by the time my dad wore a bin bag to the mosh pit of Bloodstock. And then actually came, I think the weather was okay after that, because then,
that
was obviously, I was waiting for my band of the weekend, pretty much, me old mate Abath.
Oh, yeah.
So I talked about how I saw her in Norway before, and the sound was shite and the set list wasn't great. This time round, the sound was good. I thought the set list was very odd. There was an Immortal track thrown in there. He played one off his other project, I. But I just thought it was very average and disappointed, mate, to be honest.
I'm sorry.
I'm interested to know what you thought of it, if you were there throughout.
Yeah, The thing is, he has got quite a compelling stage presence. And when this was the first time I'd seen him in the flesh, so there was that allure to begin with, and to see him gurning away and scuttling around like a crab. That did amuse me for a while, but I have to say the music left me a little bit cold. And I do think he was slightly a victim of following such a highly charged and energetic set from Not Loose, that after that he felt just a little bit
deflated.
A little bit, yeah. I don't want to be too down on him, so I know he's one of your big idols. But that was it for me. But I'll leave you to say this final word on that.
No. I don't mean to sound this as a bad way, but I just think I'm so happy for him that he has got sober, because clearly he was going down a bad path. There's a video of him in Argentina where he tried to play some song maybe 6-7 times to start with. It was just embarrassing. But I think as well at the same time, maybe that being not having that has taken something away from him as a front man. Do you know what I mean? Without trying
I
to
do, yeah. It's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because it was clearly very self-destructive for him. But rock stars being rock stars is also part of what makes them interesting and compelling, isn't it? So yeah, it's a tough one.
But we'll move on. Let's move on. And then I believe, Annie, again, please jump in, correct me if I'm wrong, we went into the Sophie tent and saw Zeal and Ardor.
You're wrong.
Oh,
you are wrong. So sorry, mate. That was the day after.
Oh, sorry, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry.
So I think I might have had to have a little lie down at this point. I don't know if you saw any of Triptychon performing Celtic Frost.
A little bit, but I think we went into the... No, we were sat down outside the new blood tent, I think.
Yeah, I was really... I kind of really wanted to see that before the weekend, but you know how festivals sometimes get on top of you a little bit, and I think I'd just eaten, and I needed to phone home or something like that. Marty... Yeah. Again, needed some phone support due to some kill switch engage related phone losses. And I think I just took five during that. But the reports I've heard have been very positive with regards to that.
Yes, so have I. I've heard too much in depth, but I think Tom G Warrior is a bit of a legend. Probably not going to get a chance to see him do that again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it is what it is. You know, it's life. Yeah. So, did we go and see Meshuggah?
We did, mate. We absolutely did.
Right. So, we've seen between us, I'd say between our group of friends, must have seen Meshuggah nearly 50 times now amongst us all. Like,
probably.
This is the, or maybe it's the second time I've seen them open air. But headline stage, were you at any point worried for Meshuggah headlining that stage?
No. My only concerns, as always with Meshuggah, is what their set list is going to be. I'm never worried about them as a band, how they're going to sound, because they always sound essentially perfect. I think you will always be able to get locked into that trance like state that you get into watching them, and my only ever concern is what kind of mood they were in when they picked the set. So I'll let you lead on with that cue.
Okay. I'm never concerned with Meshuggah's either sound or their production, because let's be honest, it was like a laser light show out there with them. It was fantastic. I'd love to see some photos, actually, some professional photos of them headlining. Setlist wise, yes, it is always a concern. They're going down a route now where, well, I mean, they didn't play Bleed, which is, and look, I love Bleed, but I can see why they're leaving it out. But I go back to the original point of Killswitch. You're playing a festival. Should you be playing your hits? That is, I can see that. For me, and for probably you, Venny, as a diehard, a lot of, not deep cuts or unusual songs, but an unfamiliar set list, you might say.
Yeah. Yep, I'd agree. They played a fair bit from Immutable, and look, that is that's completely legit for them to play tracks of their latest album. I would be similarly critical if you get a nostalgia act who are just playing their classics from the 70s or 80s. So, do you know, I've got no bones with that, but when it is Meshuggah, and if you remember my review of that, I was super enthusiastic about that album. So to have a fair chunk of the set, is probably a quarter of the set dedicated to Immutable songs, wasn't my first choice, put it that way. But I would say they sounded good. And like I said before, you can still get locked into that trance-like state when listening to Meshuga. The visuals, like you say, were spellbinding. Like, I would say the strongest visuals of any band over the weekend. Trying to think of anyone better, but probably not. Sound just loud, absolutely on point, as you'd expect. So yeah, it's not to say that those tracks were bad, but it's just not my favorite tracks potentially. But what I did like, to be positive about things, what I did like was some of the, for want of a better word, the classic tracks that they did play, I really enjoyed, and they weren't the ones that I've heard a lot of times before. They played Demiurge towards the end, which is an absolute monster of a track. And Future Breed Machine, I actually love, and it takes me back to one of the very first times I saw them play full stop in like 2007. And that was a track that just absolutely grabbed me at that point and just made me think, what the hell are this band? And to hear them rounding off the set with that was just a really nice moment for me. And I'd actually much prefer that than Bleed, for example.
Okay, fair. I really liked the new songs off the new album. I do enjoy seeing them. I can see where you're coming from, why you didn't enjoy that album. But, you know, they had Rational Gaze, which is undeniably one of their best songs. It's unbelievable. And also for me, Straws Pulled at Random, which is one of my favourite songs of theirs. And like you said, Future Breed Machine to finish off. Like, unbelievable. Good crowd for them as well, which was good to
big,
see.
Yeah, really big.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, and like, connoisseur of Meshuga, one of our best friends, Johnny Hopkins, he, I would say, would have really liked that set.
Yeah.
And they played tracks off in Death Is Life, or whatever that is called. And I think those are slightly deeper cuts that I think he would have really, the connoisseur's choice would have really liked.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm just giving my own personal view on things, as I always try and do. But objectively, they were really good. And as a headliner, with the visuals, with the sound and everything else, even if you weren't that familiar with those tracks, I think, like you say, you could easily get locked into that.
Definitely. Brilliant. So then on to Sunday, and I think Veli again, could be wrong, we started with Tushka.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just trying to scan through here, mate.
I think it was Tushka. Check.
Anyway, yeah, roll on with Tushka, mate.
I think it was Tushka we started with, who are a Church Road band and were on the same vein as Bosque in the fact that they were heavy as lead. Jesus wept for it. I think they were two-piece, weren't they? Guitar and bass. Guitar and drums, yeah. Holy bejesus, they were so heavy.
Yeah, really
Ten
kind
was good.
Of. Yeah, 10 was good. Yeah, that really kind of heavy, sludgy, some kind of Mastodon-esque of that sludgy vibe, but really quite heavy vocals and quite extreme. But yeah, again, a band you might see, say, at Desert Fest or
yes,
a Push Art Tangent. But yeah, I thought, again, went down really well. And it just shows you that the crowd who go to Bloodstock really know their music, I think, and are really open-minded to other things, basically.
Yes, agreed. Next, mate, Decapitated.
Yeah, I mean, we did see a bit of tribulation. We weren't
necessarily
at the barrier for that, but we watched them from afar. And that's kind of my relationship with them in general, that I've kind of kept tabs on them and listened to bits and pieces. But I thought they looked pretty good up there.
They were
dressed up and stuff, and I thought they sounded really tight, to be honest. And I mean, they're not a band that I've gone deep into, but I have to say that just what I saw of them maybe just piqued my interest to go in a little bit more on them.
Yeah, they're an interesting band. Interesting band, is that right?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, no, I thought they were really good. From what I heard, so I think they released an album not long ago. If I'm right in saying, I could be wrong now, Nick. I've got a lot of things wrong this show already. We're only on. But anyway, yes, Tribulation, we saw them. Then we saw Decapitated, correct?
Yes, correct.
Do you want to fire away with this one to start with, Nick?
I didn't think this was that good, to be honest.
Oh,
were you expecting me to say that?
No, I wasn't. I was expecting you to say I really enjoyed it. Please, carry on.
Again, look, I've seen them a load of time over the years. We talked about some of the difficulties they've had. We won't go into that again now. I do think that was somewhat reflected in their crowd size on the day. Again, performing that quite technical death metal in the middle of the day, tricky. I thought they sounded good. The set mix wasn't quite right. It just left me a bit cold. I don't know what the reason for that. It's a little bit difficult to put my finger on, but I didn't have a brilliant time at that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Sorry if that's wrong footed you a little bit.
No. Well, it has a little bit, but I'm wondering if there was still that harboring of what went on.
Maybe deep down there was. I'm just looking at the set list now, and they did play a couple of buttes from back in the day. Spears of Madness, I absolutely love, which is from Carnivores Forever, and they played Day 69 off Organic Hallucinosis. So now I've seen that, I do remember thinking, oh yeah, these two tracks are awesome. And in particular, that Carnivores Forever album is really like Slipknot on steroids and is really excellent. And I guess that's part of it, I think, mate, is that whilst I do like the new stuff, and I think I was probably a bit more favourable to the new album than you were when we reviewed it, it's still not what they were like in their heyday. So I think that also feeds into it a little bit.
Yeah. I had a good time. I got in the pit, like I said, nothing to lose. They played some stuff off the new album, naturally. And I have no bones about it. It was Decapitated. They had no production on a main stage in Derby on a Saturday afternoon. That difficult, I always find that slot is quite difficult as well, isn't it?
I agree. People are starting to flag a little bit.
Yeah, people have just
on the third day. Agree.
And tiredness. So they didn't blow me away, but again, they were fine. So no issues there. And I just want to quickly shout out now, then, before we go on, because at this point we went to the New Blood stage. I don't know if you're with me, but I went to catch the boys from Cork, Soothsayer, and they are doomy band. They were fantastic. Their lead singer was painted in head to toe in blue. They were very tight, very heavy. The sound was brilliant. I couldn't name any of their tracks, but I believe they played stuff off, I think it's Echoes of the Earth. I think that's their album. But very good, very good, very enjoyable. And then towards the end of that, which I think... Go on.
Carry on, mate. I thought you'd moved on, but
I was going to move on, but yeah, go on.
I mean, my memory of that album we reviewed was it was quite acerbically heavy. How did that play out to a mixed festival crowd?
It was a good crowd. It was a good crowd in that. I think the one thing, and we'll touch on this as well about Arctangent, but those festivals of that size, you're always going to get people who don't want to watch Tribulation or Triptychon, for example, and we'll go and find a new band. So you're always going to get that. But it was good. They were heavy as sin. Really good, really good. And then we saw another band from Ireland, from Dublin, actually, called, now I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's Lavaine or L.A. Vane. But either way.
Lavaine,
Yeah, Lavaine. They are hardcore band from Dubbers. They young enough lads. The front man was fairly intimidating. They just played their hearts out, and it was one of those shows where, you know, hardcore shows, they're meant to be loose, they're meant to be fun, and they certainly did that. They had a great crowd there. I was chatting to one of the, there was a girl sitting next to me. I think it was one of the guys' wives or something. They flew in to support them that day. There's a great crowd for them. I meant to meet Connor after, but I think we got lost somewhere. So apologies, Connor, if you're listening. But yeah, really good time with them. That was good fun. So that was the two bands I saw on New Blood stage. And then we went back and saw Sepultura.
Yes.
Holy bejesus. I said on our show, previous show, never seen him before, and I was really excited. And what would Derek Bean Green be like? That man is an absolute machine. And I wish I could turn around and say I've never heard Sepultura sound so good, but they sounded absolutely incredible. They really dominated that stage that day. And I think they were untouchable on that stage.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I mean, unlike you, I have seen them before, so I do know what a force they potentially represent. And I thought their set list was really good, in that they played Sepultura songs, but not necessarily the ones you've heard a million times before. And they played things like Refuse Resist, Dead Embryonic Cells, Arise, do you know, some of those older, thrasher, heavier songs. And I thought they played them at time and a half. I thought they sounded like quite fast in a good way, in that they didn't sound like 50-year-old men's playing at half the time. I thought they had it, do you know, I thought they were on it. And I thought the set list wasn't just Roots, Bloody Roots. It was more to it than that. So I thought it was good. And and I also would say the newer tracks stood out well amongst the classics, which
it was packed for them as well.
They would want. Oh yeah.
Rammed. Oh, yeah. Delighted for them. And then we went to see Megadeth. Who? No. Oh, we didn't. Sorry.
Zielinada.
Oh shit, Zielinada. Sorry, yeah.
It's all right. Poor old Zielinada getting placed all over the bill.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't have pulled out the Saturday, should they? This wouldn't be happening if that wasn't
their
the case.
Their own fault.
Sorry, we then went to see Zielinada, who.
Sorry to interrupt, mate.
No, no, please. Please do. I'm still not recovered from the weekends we've had, so. But yeah, Jesus Christ, Zielinada. Moved from Saturday to, I think they were second. Yeah, they were second.
Yeah.
Headliners on there because Biohazard headlined, but Jesus wept. They had, I think they had, they gave them the same set list they would have had they.
They did.
And that was rammed. And my God, they sounded phenomenal. Their songs, the mix of metal, black metal, blues, country, whatever you want to call it, is just such a good blend. And live, they were on fire. I mean, were you with us at the front in the pit?
Yeah, it was good. I really, it's a weird thing to say, but I really enjoyed that pit. I thought it was really good because they have that heaviness, but they also have that swing and groove to them. They have that soulfulness.
Yeah.
They have that sing along. And yeah, it's fun. They are a really funny one. I really didn't get them to begin with, but now they've clicked with me. I feel really strongly about them. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen them a few times on this latest album run, and I just think they sound fantastic. They, you know, Manuel's at the front. He's got the two kind of backing soul singers either side of them, full band behind. It sounds excellent. And like tracks like Gotram Damning are just riff on that is so persuasive. It's fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. And at that point as well, we had Lisa, little Lisa B, come down the front of us. She loves that fire, and we protected her on the pit as best we could. So, yeah, another band of the weekend. No surprise there. And then did we go see Megadeth?
Oh, yes, we did.
Oh, at this point, Benny, we were at our most fiendish, or certainly
we
you
were giddy.
Were.
We were giddy because we're a bit delirious with lack of sleep and other intoxicants, I would say.
I mean, you and I have never seen Megadeth headline set before together. We've seen them play at festivals. Never a headline set. So this was a little bit exciting. The place was fairly busy. And I mean, there's pictures of you and I that are floating around social media somewhere, just hugging, waiting for him to come on. And, you know, coming into Hangar 18, which is their new opening track, into one of my favourite tracks, Dren the Fugitive Mind, into Angry Again, to Sweating Bullets, to Wake Up Dead, into My Darkest Hour. It was just ridiculous. Like,
it was
that's
ridiculous.
Obscene.
That's six.
Yes.
And they played them pretty much relentlessly back to back, no gap in between. It was fantastic, that opening. And it goes into what you're saying, mate. You're playing, headlining a festival, and they played the set that fit the festival perfectly. And as soon as Angry Again came on, and then Dreading the Future Mind, oh, I love it so much. Even Sweating Bullets, which is a bit corny, then Wake Up Dead, oh, absolutely love it.
And then we'll just talk. They threw three songs in off of the Dystopia, the new album. One song of the Dystopia, two of the new album, I believe. And so fair. They can throw them in.
Absolutely fair, I would say.
And then finished off with Trust, A Tout Le Monde, Tornado of Souls, Symphony of Destruction, Peace Sells, Mechanics, into Holy Wars. I mean, just, I remember Trust coming on and us all just singing our hearts out. And then I remember Mechanics coming on, which is again one of my favorite songs of theirs, and going, I'm pretty sure I'm a shirt off at this point. Fenny, get me on your shoulders. me getting on your shoulders and you claiming I was too heavy, and just you falling through the crowd and throw surfing me out of the back.
Yeah, I mean, we got right to the front by the end of that little episode.
I mean, what a set list. We were all of us there together having the best time. There's been a lot of talk about Dave's vocals. I didn't notice it because I was singing louder than him. And look,
that's the best way, I think, with Megadeth, is just sing louder. I'm sure the people in the crowd were not loving standing next to us.
I bet
they'd queued for an hour and they're like, oh no, we're not the place of these two pricks, are we?
Pretty custom for us at any festival.
Yeah.
But I mean, we were so excited the whole week. We called it out. It was our band of the weekend. We were most looking forward to seeing. For me, they did not disappoint. I don't know if it's the same for you, mate.
Oh yeah. Can I let you into a secret? I was in quite a low point on the Friday night after my sugar. I just couldn't get to sleep.
Saturday night.
Saturday night, and couldn't get to sleep. Awaken my comfortable but not quite my own bed at like 2 a.m. I was thinking, oh, I'm just gonna, like, there was an option for me to leave early on Sunday, which would have been a very comfortable option for me to take. And I was like, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'll get back to the family sooner. They'll be delighted to have. And like, there were so many things, but I was just, by the end of that set, if you, I couldn't have been anywhere else in the world. I was just so happy. And it just, the combination of Zeal and Ardor and then Megadeth, and then we'll talk on to about what happened after that. But yeah, I was so happy. It was everything that I wanted. We talked in the preview, clearly before the festival, we didn't know what was coming up, and we kind of wished and willed for that to happen, and it happened. And yeah, it was fantastic.
I mean, what better way to spend listening to Megadeth with your friends? I mean, yeah, there was like six of us at that point, six of us, yeah, just having the best time. And yeah, what a set list as well. Like,
yeah, I've got a couple of apologies. Apologies to whoever was stood near us for our singing. Apologies, at one point, you were on my shoulders. Another point, I was on our friend Alex Tucker's Big AT's shoulders. And for whatever reason, I had quite a big builder's bum on display, which must have been on show to about 1,000 people. So apologies to all 1,000 of them.
Brighter than the full moon of that night.
Indecent exposure.
Good, mate, good. Get those apologies out, I like it. Good. So then at that point, I have to admit, I was ready for bed. I had to think about going back to the hotel and then flying back the next day. But you were in your typical mischievous mood of, right, let's go see Biohazard. And I really did not want to go. I was thinking, the last thing I want to do is go from a lovely time with Megadeth to then have to go stand in a proper hardcore bruiser show. But we went anyway, mate. You dragged us there. And
we did. I was lured in. I mean, I was full of happiness. My stomach was full. I didn't need any more, but it was from the tent. I could hear the refrain of Urban Discipline and Tales from the Hard Side.
Yeah.
I think was a thing that just, and I was like, well, we just need to go to the Vodka Red Bull stand. And
oh Christ, I forgot about that. Yeah.
That is what we need right now. For some reason, that's what I thought. And I mean, again, this is what another thing that I'd say about Bloodstock, a really, again, our first times there, this is one thing I love about it, is almost the entire crowd from the main stage headliner just migrate to that tent for the second stage headliner who play last, come on at 11. I love that. It'd be so easy for a fickle festival crowd to see a headliner then just trot off home, but
yeah,
it's like the whole crowd naturally, like the tides of the sea, just gravitate over there. And it was stacked for Biohazard. Like, we were stood next to the bar right at the back, and that was the entrance to the mosh pit, essentially.
Yeah, it was insane.
They had the two massive pillars holding the tent up, and the circle pit went around both of them.
Yeah,
it was like doing a 400 meters lap.
Some could have run into that and taken the whole tent down, such as the ferocity of that pit. I had a good time with Biohazard. They played the classics, and I think
they did.
The original band being back together, they were really, you could feel like the connection. Billy was on top form. Evan Seinfeld is just the biggest fucking rip man you've ever seen at the age of 65, whatever he is. Still sounds great. I just had nothing left in the tank for me to go.
I do know that feeling very well.
Whereas you dragging poor Owen McKenna in, Owen McKenna, who was absolutely toasted at this point, dragging him in. Oh my God, that pit looked insane.
Quick 400 meter dash, quick lap or two. But no, it's great. Billy playing his guitar in the crowd. Like you touched on the set list again, just they knew what side of their bread to butter.
Tales
from the Hard Side, Wrong Side of the Track, Black and White and Red and All Over, Victory, Love Denied, Punishment, and ended with Hold My Own. Like, come on, man. That was a fantastic way to... I don't think there are many other bands that could have rounded out my weekend like that, but...
Agreed.
Yeah, they were fantastic. And to be honest, I had very low expectations. Wasn't sure I'd go and see them, but, like, yeah, they were fantastic.
Yeah, superb. And that was the end of our bloodstock experience. So, will we return next year? We'll have to wait and see. Lots of irons in lots of fires, I think is the phrase. But Benny, it was a pleasure to spend it with you. And till next time,
Adieu.
peace out.